NCBVI Commission Meeting, November 20, 2004, Tape 2.
Myself and Amy Burrish, and we have Karen Mosier, she's had a transition. We have Larry Ruse, and we have Gene Wirtz, and we have Mr. Carlos Servant. That's it.
Ken.
Ken is my goodness, yes.
That's an impressive group.
Okay, yes, thank you.
And they've done a really wonderful job spreading the net wide and then, you know, really deciding what to put in. They've done a great job. They also will be providing training, or I don't know if they, the committee will, but training will be provided to each office, each work group to be able to implement it. So we're not just handing them a disc and saying, here, use it. That's a whole other, you know, development plan that they've done a fine job with.
Yeah, this is Amy. We're going to be doing the trainings in December. I believe everybody's going to, yeah.
Complete.
Yeah.
This is Carlos. Yeah, the training should be completed by December. And the second part of the manual will be presented at the state staff meeting, which will be in April.
That's it.
Yeah. I also want to say, you know, Robert put it in a very nice way and seemed to be very easy. It's easy to read, but it took a lot of work and research. You know, all the councilors, people in the committee worked very hard doing some research, reading, screening. And what is more important, it reflects the belief of the agency. It's not just picking the articles or writing things, but we are very careful that whatever we write has to reflect the belief of the agency as well.
Yes, the one part that I was wanting to comment on, the thing about the, all of it seems timeless to me, or it sounded like it would be from the titles and stuff, with the possible exception of the labor trends kind of thing. It seems like those kind of shift and change and all of that, so I'm wondering, you know, if...
I think it tells kind of where to find them and the fact that they exist, you should go to...
Oh, I see. Okay, okay, yeah. Good.
And this is Amy. The beauty of the manual is that once individuals have it in their hands themselves, you know, the CD is unchangeable, you know, as itself as the disk, but you can put it on your hard drive and add, you know, updated information of their things that work better or updated or whatnot. So it can always be.
Well, is it in you know, text or HTML or MP3 or what kind of format is it in?
Oh, Word documents.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah.
That I understand.
Okay, time-wise, it's close to noon. I'm wondering if we want to...
Let's take a break.
Take a break, have a chance to, you know, get ready for lunch, and then we will... one of the different things we're doing this time, too, is that although we will be meeting during part of lunch, we are going to take enough of a break that our nimble-fingered note-taker and those of us who need to be saying things, hopefully without our mouths full, can do those things and still, you know, eat lunch and still have the meeting continue. So we're, I think, about half done. So that's kind of where we are, time-wise.
Since the lunch is a complete total break, is the pizza here?
It is not here yet.
Maybe, how long is your report from the chairman, Barbara? Maybe we could get that knocked off. Since the break will be complete and we won't be doing anything but breaking and eating.
Okay, we could do that. If people aren't, you know, the thing I was thinking about was if we break to eat, if we've already done our, like, going to the restroom and that sort of thing, then we don't need to do both of those things.
Of course, there'll be a line and stuff so people can go to the bathroom while other people are in line. And
here comes the pizza.
I guess we won't do that.
Okay. Okay.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Later this afternoon, probably around 1:30.
Resuming recording after the lunch break.
going to reconvene. The next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman. And this has been a pretty busy time since our last meeting. On the 18th and 19th of August, I both participated as a presenter and had fun at the technology show and tell in Lincoln. And I really liked the way it was done because it allowed presenters to have time to go and participate with the other presenters and, you know, see what was there. So that was a fun thing. I hope it happens again. And then on the 19th and 20th of August, I went to the Books and Beyond College Workshop, which was another fun thing to do. I thought it was really great that we had not only the Commissioner of the Rehabilitation Services Administration, Joanne Wilson, but also Kurt Chong to speak to everybody. And then our own Nebraska presenters were really informative and fun too. The kind of role play thing and things like that that happened were really, I thought, both informative and allowed people to feel like, you know, we were part of the action. Of course, it was fun too to go to the Monte Carlo night in between. So, you know, it's really fun to be able to participate in those kinds of activities. On the 26th of August, I met with Rodney King from the RSA regional office, and we talked about the kinds of things that the commission does. One thing that we discussed was the availability of different kinds of surveys. And, you know, I said that we do receive, when people finish at the center, we get the evaluations and those kinds of things. And we do receive a few other kinds of surveys, but there are some areas where we really don't, unless we have a focus topic. If the commission is doing surveys and getting results, we do get the older blind Americans or older blind individuals one, but whenever those kinds of things happen, I think it would be good for us to receive the results of those kinds of things, because I think they do help us to know how people are feeling about the services that they receive. On the 9th of September, I attended the seminar sponsored by the Committee of Blind Vendors, and that was another fun thing. You know, like I say, it's been a really, really good time since our last meeting. Bill and Nancy also attended that seminar, and Kevin Worley was the presenter, and it was another time when there was interaction and a lot of good ideas were generated. So that was another thing that was really good to be a part of. On the 8th of October, I spoke to the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska State Convention as its designee on the board. I'm generally asked to do an annual report. On the 10th of October, I attended the alumni meeting, the first ever, and that was a lot of fun. Dr. Nyman gave a really informative and entertaining speech there, and I know that it has been distributed around via email, and I think it was a good thing to have that happen. And we also had Rosemary Lerdahl come into that from Baltimore, and Loma Bama was here from that far away too, and that was fun. And Mike Adams was there from Fremont. So a few of us who had been around and had been former directors of the Orientation Center were there. And of course, our current director, Fatosh Floyd, was there as well, the center director, as well as our executive director, who was, you know, a speaker there. On the 27th of October, I attended the proclamation ceremony for the White Cane Safety Day proclamation. And There was also an NFB of the National Federation of the Blind Month proclamation at that same ceremony. So, you know, the governor did two things on behalf of blind people that day. We've received, as usual, a lot of correspondence. We will be, again, attaching the materials list to the minutes of this meeting. We received a policy statement from the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. Also, we received some thoughts from Jim Yurok as a consumer in response to the statement that Robert Newman made at our last meeting. It's always interesting to get people's perspective on what we do and how we do it. And again, we appreciate all the center articles and those kinds of things. And the information about the how to track the origin of emails that Robert Newman sent, I think, was really timely. I also was fascinated by the information concerning the poem by Ted Kooser about blind people. I wish I could have gone to the the meeting at which that was talked about. I'm glad that we continue to have grant requests, and although I know that our project in Empower grant didn't get funded, it's good to continue to be in the mix for those. I was almost going to be a peer reviewer for that grant period, but because we had a grant from Nebraska, they eliminated me from the peer review. But I'll hopefully get another opportunity to do that. And I know that there were some requests for our addresses and that kind of information, and that gives me an opportunity to remind people that our information about each of us is on the website. If it isn't up to date, please make sure that the up to date information gets to Jim to be posted. We've also been receiving the Lifelines articles that Bob Deaton submits, and it's always good to get those. We also have been able to receive a lot of appreciative comments, everything from the official thank you that Pearl sent to Cindy Zimmer. We had done our public thanking of her and the center staff for the lunch at our August meeting. But it's, I think it's always good to remember to make sure that people do be appreciated and have that shown for what they do. We received the note of appreciation from Joe Bosshart concerning the running of the wages program. And Sarah Peterson's appreciating the Home Teaching Plus program, and it's really neat how the people there in the North Platte area raised some money for Friends of the Commission. That was, I think, an innovative thing and a really good idea. And of course, we do appreciate the staff, not only on Staff Appreciation Day, but all the time, and as your chairman, I did extend our appreciation to staff, and I thank Pearl for sending it out. I would like to request that we receive an updated version of the organizational chart, you know, with the emails and staff names and stuff. It seems like there's been enough change since the last time we received it that we're probably behind, which is one reason I don't tend to send stuff out to staff, because I don't want to miss anybody. And of course, we had our executive director receiving the governor's award for supervisor manager of the year, and we think that's well deserved, and we're glad that you're receiving not only the award, but the monetary part that goes with it. Congratulations. And we congratulate Bob Shanklin for receiving the employee of the year also. We realize that although the agency is a small one, it's good that we have an opportunity to have people receive recognition for what they do. You know, those kinds of things are important. And we want to add our welcome to Shonda Jernis as program specialist in the Omaha district, and to Deanne Johnson as staff assistant in the Omaha district. We're glad when we get those notices, and we always are glad to meet people. A lot of us have known Sean from years ago. He's probably worked on a lot of our computers. I know he's worked on mine. And we also welcome Deanne. It's interesting, too, to see that the Home Teaching Plus electronic group has started, and we're glad that Glenn Irvin is leading that. In terms of our schedule, oh my goodness. Well, I will quickly mention that our schedule has changed for next year. We're not able to meet on the 26th of February because one of our members wasn't able to do that. So that meeting has officially been changed to the 12th of February. It will still be in Lincoln. And I believe that's it. So, yeah, we'll be meeting on the 12th of February of 05 in Lincoln at the Carva Center. Okay, I came in under the wire. The next item is another period for public comment, so if people have any questions for me, or if you have other comment you'd like to make, now's another time.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
You said something about a proclamation from the NFB. What was that?
The governor proclaimed October National Federation of the Blind Month in the state. And then October 15th was proclaimed as White Cane Safety Day. And both of those proclamations happened on that October 27th date. Generally, there is a date each month that the governor sets aside some time to sign those proclamations and be there to hear what they are and to receive people who come to support them.
One other question about the schedule. Maybe I'm wrong, but because I was remembering, it was either in February or May, Bill Oreser wanted a board meeting always to be the first Saturday of the month of that quarter.
We had discussed that last year, but it didn't work out then. And so what we did in August was to set dates that we all felt like we could be there for, and when the locations that we wanted, if you know, when the building that we wanted to be in was open. It takes a longer and longer time now to, you have to be further ahead of time. Do more advanced planning, I think, is what I'm trying to say, in order to get the time frame and the dates that we want.
Barbara, are you finished with your plate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have a comment out there? If not, we will move along to the next item on the agenda, which is the report from the executive director. So we'll want 20 minutes this time, please.
All right. Thank you. Well, some of what I want to talk about, Barbara has mentioned, so I won't repeat everything, but I will say we were pleased to have Sean DeJournis join us on our staff starting September 7th, and also Val Peary, of course, was hired shortly after our last meeting and is now on the job, and as you know from today, she's doing an excellent job, and for the last couple months, she's been in place and has been a huge help.
Oh, I thought she happened before our last meeting.
But maybe it was just before.
I hope so, because otherwise I wouldn't want to leave her out.
Anyway.
We're glad you're here, Val.
I think I had announced last time the hiring. So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about our field services and how that has changed over the years. And as we get into budget, this, I'll talk about some of the implications here, but our federal fiscal year 2004, which ended September 30th of this year, we served 861 people in the voc rehab track and 847 in independent living. And I'll just note that those are up. For voc rehab in 2000, we served 565.
Wow.
And in 2002, which is what I happen to have in front of me, in independent living, we served 709. So you can see that both tracks, the numbers we serve are certainly increasing. And also, as you saw by the placement manual, and we've talked before about the efforts all the staff are making to really provide intensive work with people to get not just a job, any job, but really good jobs, and to be able to follow career goals and to raise their expectations for themselves. So that kind of work is quite intensive, as you might guess. And of course, the numbers of staff have remained pretty much the same, with the exception of our being able to add the deafblind coordinator and the transition counselors, but none of those exactly carry a specific caseload, or have not to this point. And so all of our staff are really stretched, and we've been looking in terms of the voc rehab and the older blind services and everything we do to continue to find ways to stretch the capacity without stretching our people to the breaking point. The center report, for the last 8 years, we've had 113 full-time individuals that have completed the training. Of course, there's many more that have gone through shorter terms or three-day stays or staff people training. So this doesn't reflect all those staff have done in that period of time. But of the people who have finished the full-time training, as you recall, I usually report that what the status is of the percentage that have achieved their employment goals. Normally, that's been right around 70% that I've reported to you. Mm-hmm. When I was talking with people from other centers around the country, out at the Nashville conference that was held in October, one thing that I noticed is when they maybe not all of them, but in particular, Colorado Center for the Blind was saying 99% of our people get full-time employment. And so I talked with them more about how they do their numbers, so to speak. And it made a lot of sense. They do not include, when they figure out proportions, they don't include people that are still in school, which we used to say, it was usually about 70% have achieved their goals and another 20% are still in school.
Yes.
So we're going to change the way we report because those folks aren't in the job market yet. So it makes sense that they shouldn't be included in reporting who has jobs. So of the 113 who have completed their training in schooling, 92.4% are employed.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, you know, 70 sounded pretty good to us before, but 92.4, that's really good. 74.5% are in competitive employment, and another 17.9% are homemaker. And I believe 100% of our homemaker closures are in the older population. And then 7.6% of the total are not working. So anyway, those are our new numbers. I thought I needed to explain the jump from 70 to 92.4. But I think that really makes sense. So that's what we'll do from this point on. We also served 130 people in the transition age. And that's transition age is 14 to 26 as defined by federal statute. And in our preparation to really look at the budget, and we had a recent meeting with Governor Johans, as you know, we wanted to bring him, help him really see what an impact that the transition services and those transition employees have made. And so we took a closer look at the people who've been served by our transition program. And so people who, maybe they're older than 26 now or at the time of closure, but in the past 4 years, they started their services when they were transition age. And then they've achieved their employment in the past 4 years. 75% are working full-time or more. There are just a few who were working 30 hours or 32-hour a week jobs, which actually I think in today's market that's quite impressive, because getting full-time jobs is not the easiest thing. And then 66% are in positions earning more than $10 an hour. And of course that's as their, what they first go into.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So, you know, those are things we're really quite pleased with. Then the increased needs, we have much higher focus on the high quality employment, as I said, careers. A lot of the positions that folks are, have been you know, getting, the jobs that they've been getting, have been technical work or professional positions. You know, it's really high quality employment. And of course, the numbers of older blind people that we serve are increasing all the time. I say, of course, if you want me to give more information on anything, I sure will. I'm trying not to be too lengthy. As I said, our staffing has basically stayed the same, and so we're really trying to find ways constantly to work smarter and be more effective. In terms of our work with older individuals, we'll talk more about that a little bit later, but we've had a committee that Bob Deaton has headed that has taken a very close look at where are we spending our time with the older individuals. And you know that the peer support groups have increased in number over the years. A lot of staff time has gone into helping those get started and working with those. And as they've increased and as the population and the focus on employment has increased, all of those things, we've needed to figure out what can we best do to serve those folks. And so a whole plan has been developed to have us, our staff, over time doing more of group teaching, kind of mini home teaching pluses, if I may, in a specific curriculum. They've come up with a very clearly defined mechanism to provide the group teaching for folks, and pulling back over time on what we do with the peer support, leaving peer support to the peers and doing more of the teaching and counseling that we need to do, the rehab services. And so, you know, that's intensive work of really sitting down and thinking through what is it that we do and where can we, you know, we all think we're doing great stuff, but if we can see how it could be stronger, that takes some really good analytical thought. And so that group has done a good job with that. I am just beginning a process of making contacts, and hopefully I'll be speaking with every consumer group, that is specifically the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska, the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, and the Omaha Association, to go to the chapter meetings. And I want to get to the folks across the state. I always welcome the opportunity to speak annually at the state meetings, but I recognize that not everyone gets there. And when people have questions, say about the budget, we recently, you know, had some questions that unfortunately didn't come to me, but that were raised at group meetings about, you know, why would we be
increasing our request from the state. The why is what I've just been talking about, you know, the increased needs, the staffing the same. And in fact, we aren't really asking for much more, but we're trying to find ways to continue, especially all those really valuable transition services, as well as keeping the deaf-blind coordinator in place and so on. And so my hope and my goal is that if every year I go to each chapter, each entity that, you know, has time to fit me in their schedule, I can help to disseminate some of the information, answer questions on more of a one-on-one as opposed to in the big state meetings. You know, maybe people hesitate to bring things up. But just Thursday, I was very pleased to start this round of meetings with the Grand Island area NFB chapter, and there were five consumers there and myself, and we really had a wonderful discussion. So I'm excited about that. let's see. We talked in the past about trying to get get all of our staff hooked up to the state of Nebraska server, which would back up our computers. Once in a while, Amy one time had her computer completely crash and everything was lost. Thank God it doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened to enough of us that it's pretty awful. And so when we first started really exploring the state of Nebraska server, it was going to be $14 per person per month, and we just said, no, we know the value, but we can't do it. So we've been holding out until they changed to $10. They haven't exactly changed to $10 for everybody, but we asked again just this past week or so, and they said that they would allow us now to start our people on the server at that rate. So we're going to have some meetings and figure out and make sure we do it right, but that should be coming pretty soon. We've just completed working on a survey instrument to, as you mentioned earlier, Barbara, we do surveys and interviews with people who lead the training center, and we have an older blind survey that we use. For voc rehab closures, we have a real short little postcard, you know, did you like it, would you refer somebody, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so under Carlos's guidance, we've developed a survey instrument, and we will be having someone make phone calls to people who are closed, interviewing them so that we can get more feedback from the people we serve in voc rehab. So I'm excited about that. That will begin fairly soon. The monitoring review you mentioned, Barbara mentioned meeting with Mr. King, the RSA staff, Rehab Services Administration staff from Kansas City was here for 2 days and went through files and interviewed any number of us and reviewed the work that we do. There was the Department of Labor and Governor's Industry Awards, which they do each year, but this year the focus was on industries or businesses who employ people with disabilities. We had put some names in of employers to honor, and we went to those awards we're there for the people we nominated, but we got an award as well, so we were nominated as a person. So that was neat, and they had those at various places around the state, and some of our staff attempted at least to attend the other ones. You mentioned the workshop with the business enterprise. The workshop that was given was kind of a stepping off point to head us in the direction of being able to possibly get bid on contracts that are really huge, like Offutt Air Force Base in the future. And we've been educating ourselves about teaming partnerships and getting a lot of information about that, working with the Attorney General to, you know, kind of make sure that everything is in place in terms of state government. he actually had a lot of questions and concerns, and we've had one follow-up conversation where we got the regional RSA Commissioner Joe Cordova on the line, as well as our Attorney General representative, and Bill Arrester attended that, and some other folks. That was very informative, and so we continue to work on that. And I'll be sharing some information with you that the Attorney General has just sent to us. I'll be sending that to you. The various programs, it has been a very, very busy couple of months. Let's see. Also, there was a joint review from Rehab Services Administration and the Office of Special Education Programs, both from Washington, D.C. and Kansas City, that came, spent 4 days, very full days, with the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, the State Education Special Populations folks, and the coordinator of the Center for the Blind, or Center for the Education of Blind Children. And so it really was a great opportunity for us to spotlight the excellent services that are provided, and also to learn some about what Voc Rehab, the general agency, does, and for them to learn about what we do. So that was good. The success, I can't take a break because I only have 20 minutes. I mean, I can't take a breath, not a break, a breath. A successful centers workshop, I mentioned a little bit earlier, that was in Nashville. It was a national conference, and we sent all of our center staff, and a number of them did present, as well as Carlos and I went. It was really a great opportunity to share our wisdom and knowledge and to learn from other people. So that was great. Also, right in this fall, the Oregon Commission for the Blind sent their entire center staff to us for a week to see what we do. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty neat as well. We've also been contacted by the Texas Rehab Services, and an orientation and mobility instructor wants to come and spend probably about 6 weeks with us learning how we do things.
Wow.
So it's really quite exciting. Of course, the NFBN convention was great to participate in that. And as you mentioned, but I just have to say again, the first alumni of the center reunion was held, and really they had a great turnout, and that was a good event. And the White Cane Day, the Winter Fest that we have, there was just one November 4th, 5th, and 6th, if I believe. And then I just recently came back from the annual meeting, the fall meeting of the Council of State Administrators of Voc Rehab and the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. That was this past week. That's my last item.
Oh, wow.
I think you did that in 20 minutes.
I think.
Pretty close to it.
So, you know, and that's the main things. There's just always lots going on, but any questions?
Well, I have to say, as the president of the Grand Island chapter, that we were very pleased that she was there, and the other chapters of the ACB and NFB can look forward to her attending. She's a wealth of information, and not only that, it's a good thing for, I at least have members in my chapter that really needed the kind of information that she can, you know, supply to them. It's one thing for me to say it, but when the executive director comes out and says it, it carries a little more weight, you know, because I'm around all the time. So, but we really appreciated the chance, and you guys all look forward to having her out.
Thank you. I've really appreciated the help of the state presidents in getting me connected with all the chapters. That's been a big help. Yeah. And also talked with Dick Slab, the president of the Omaha Association of the Blind, to come and go to his group as well.
Okay, well, thank you. Is there any comment from the public at this point, this is our next official public comment period.
Hello, Jimmy Rock, very quickly. I wanted to let you know that I think, you know, going around to the different chapters and groups and whatever and so on and so forth, I think is going to help clear up some of the misconceptions the other day without going into any detail. I had had a conversation with an individual who was concerned about the commission going back to the legislature asking for more, excuse me, for funding and so on and so forth, and not knowing some of the things, you know, you just elaborated as your reason for doing that. I think not knowing that, you know, that there's some misconceptions out there as to why that's happening, I think by you approaching, you know, the government council as well as the Federation folks and OAB as well, I think that's going to clear it up.
Well, I hope so.
I think so, yeah.
I think that's true. I also think that those of us who are affiliated with organizations need to not wait for Pearl to clear things up or leave it to her. You know, we also need to keep ourselves informed, get ourselves informed, and make sure that we share the business of making sure that people know what's going on and how to, you know, and how to get answers. Thank you, Jim. Does anyone else have any comments? If not, we will move along to old business. And the first item is the rule update, which, since all of the board was here this morning for the public hearing, I think we will, unless somebody wants to do otherwise, we will skip that item. Okay. The next item is the budget update. And so now, Pearl, you didn't get a chance to.
No problem. Okay. The biennium budget that we submitted, budget request that we submitted, took into account a couple of sort of underlying premises, if you will. One of the things is that for match in the previous years, we have worked exceedingly hard to first find other sources. This is simplified, but sort of, and then see what we need, you know, from the state, and try to really minimize what we request of the state. And even at that, the amounts that we've requested have not been granted. And of course, we had a couple of years of very tight state budgets, so we understood, and that's part of, you know, where we were coming from in our requests. But this year, for one thing, the match that we can document from our third-party cooperative agreement with the University Medical Center Low Vision Clinic, that's in a special category called third-party cooperative agreements in the federal regulations. The feds are really closely monitoring those, and they have led us to believe that they may not be allowing those. They haven't said that, but they've definitely let us know that they're going to be closely looking at all of those, not just here, but nationally. And so we definitely don't want to plan 2 years into the future with, you know, a significant portion of match to bring down the federal funds that in fact may not be a valid source in the future. And we also have been advised by both at least one senator, as well as from people on the federal level, to go ahead and let the state know what it is that you need to operate and then negotiate from there. The other part of it is the Rehab Services Administration, from the very beginning of the program, it was set up as a joint partnership between state government and the federal government. And just to remind you, the voc rehab is basically 80% federal, 20% state, and the older blind independent living is 90% and 10%. And so each state dollar really, you know, is matched in a huge way from the federal partner. The state general voc rehab agency has been fully funded from the state for quite some time, and yet we're not. We're, you know, we kind of scrape and scramble for dimes and nickels from other places. So we did put into our request for the biennium of 2006 and 7, we're requesting from the state general funds $727,266 for 06, and then $860,813 for 07. Another part of that is the older blind funding, almost certainly when the Rehab Act gets reauthorized one of these days, our level will go from $225,000 that we're eligible to $300,000.